I'd like to take a look with you tonight at a time that Jesus tells Peter to follow me. If you think back of your familiarity with the time that Jesus spent calling his disciples, you might think that perhaps the time in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, where Peter and Andrew they're fishing off the shore of Galilee, and Jesus calls both Peter and Andrew and says, follow me. And of course, they cast their nets down and they leave them and they go to follow him. And of course, that phrase, follow me, is a phrase of discipleship. And of course, Peter's decision to become a disciple is marked by a number of fascinating and remarkable events in the lives of both Peter and Andrew and the other disciples that end up following him. But I often wonder, the moment that Peter heard those words, follow me, if Peter had an inkling, or can even have imagined what those words actually meant. If you think about the life of Peter for just a moment, I just want to highlight some of the things that occurred in Peter's life that certainly I don't think Peter could have ever imagined that this would have happened in his life, or what it would have meant to be a disciple of Jesus, or what it would have meant to follow him. Peter is listed first among the 12 disciples who are eventually chosen to be apostles. It is Peter who trusted enough in Jesus to walk on water, but it was also Peter who then doubted and began to sink into that water. It was Peter who made the great confession to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it was Peter, who was among the three who witnessed the form of Jesus illuminated like the sun there on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was Peter who declared, though they all fall away because of you, I will never deny you. And it was Peter who raised a sword against a small army of men in defense of Jesus when he feared for the very life of his master. But it was also Peter who just a few hours later denied the same Son of God that he confessed earlier three times. Did Peter understand at the words of Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, follow me, what it would mean? Do we even understand what it means to follow Jesus and understand those words? But it's really not that particular time that I'm interested in looking at. Those words that Jesus uttered to Peter, follow me, did not occur just at the beginning of the work of Jesus and not just at the beginning of the discipleship of Peter. But they also occur at another time. And it's that particular instance I want to look at to sort of introduce this lesson and to kind of explore some ideas with you about what it means to follow me, and perhaps also the lesson that Peter learned about what those words meant. And that occasion occurs in John chapter 21. If you would turn there with me to John chapter 21, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here tonight, but I do want to make a contrast between, I guess, if you would, the words that Jesus uttered at the beginning there in Matthew chapter 4. And now, as Jesus is about to leave this earth, and he is commissioning his disciples, and here specifically Peter, to engage in this work that they were about to engage in. Jesus utters those words to Peter, follow me, and they take perhaps a slightly different meaning, maybe not a different meaning, but perhaps at this point now Peter understands them more completely. And so let's look at the context here for just a moment. This is after Jesus has been raised from the dead. And he is making a series of appearances to his disciples. In other words, now they get to see him alive after having been crucified on the cross. And John records for us here in John chapter 21 that this is the third time that Jesus makes an appearance to his disciples. And it's the instance where basically they're eating breakfast together from the fish that are caught along the shore. And so they're finishing breakfast, or they have finished breakfast in verse 15. And now Jesus begins to ask Peter these series of questions that perhaps are a little bit difficult for Peter to hear. And so let's read the context and then kind of look at a couple things here in connection with this. But in verse 15, it says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. We'll look at a few more verses in a few minutes. But let's look at these for just a moment here. And of course, I've often wondered, you know, about these questions that Jesus is asking Peter. Why three times? Why ask me, Peter, do you love me? And I think the answer, in short, is pretty simple. The reason why Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me, is because just a couple days before this, or a few days before this, several days before this, I'm not sure exactly what point in time, before Jesus had been taken away, betrayed by, or after Jesus had been betrayed by Judas, taken and arrested by the Jews and the Romans, Peter had followed from a distance, and when confronted, basically, aren't you one of Jesus' disciples? Aren't you with him? Peter denied Jesus three times. And so now, I think Jesus is giving Peter an opportunity to basically recommit himself, kind of giving him a second chance, and showing Peter that all is forgiven if Peter's just willing, again, to kind of demonstrate and to show his love. And so I don't think there's any doubt in the mind of Jesus that Peter loves him. But Peter needed that opportunity, that opening. And so Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And of course, Peter says, you know that I love you. And so, basically, Jesus being satisfied with that. There's something next that is kind of perplexing to me somewhat, is that Jesus then tells him how he's going to die. And again, that's kind of been a strange thing to me in times past about why at this particular point in the life of Peter, when he's going to be doing so much work, you know, for several years to come, would now Jesus tell Peter, you're going to die, and this is how it's going to be. And so how Jesus describes this, he says, you know, when you were young, you used to dress yourself, you used to go wherever you wanted to go, basically, in essence of that. But when you are old, he says, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. Tradition, historical tradition, tells us that Peter died by crucifixion in Rome. And there's some fairly strong evidence that that was the case. The Bible doesn't tell us that, reveal that to us. But history and tradition suggest that that is how Peter died. And if that is in fact true, that Peter died by crucifixion, then the imagery that Jesus paints for us here, I don't think Jesus is being literal. I think he is figuratively describing how Peter would die. That Peter would stretch out his hands, and that another one would take him and dress him, and Peter would go where he would not want to go. Well, I guess what I'm suggesting here is that this is an allusion to the crucifixion of Peter. And now Jesus is saying to Peter, Peter, this is how you will die and glorify God. Notice that's what John describes for us. This, he said, to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And then only then does Jesus say, Peter, follow me. You think about what, in fact, Jesus is saying in those words, follow me, at this point. Peter, when I first, and I'm kind of just adding in perhaps some things that are suggested here, implied. Peter, do you remember that time that I called you the very first time when I said the words to you, follow me? You probably, Peter, didn't understand exactly all that I was asking of you, but yet you followed anyway. And there were moments that were tremendous in your life. But at the critical point, when the time came for you to stand up for me, you didn't do that. But now I know that you love me. I know that you desire to serve me. There's no doubt in my mind. And where you have failed in the past, now that you know what it means to follow me, you will accomplish that. You will succeed where you have failed. And so Jesus, I believe here, in essence, really telling Peter at this point what it really means to be a disciple. And he is telling us also and demonstrating to us a lesson that Peter had to learn and a lesson that we have to learn. And so I want to spend a little bit of time talking about true discipleship. That was all the introduction, in case you were wondering. I kind of got that from a brother Pickup, Harry Pickup Sr. He would have a 30-minute introduction and a 5-minute lesson. Well, my lesson could be a little bit more than 5 minutes, but that was a rather lengthy intro. All to say and to demonstrate and to show that some lessons about discipleship, about Christianity, are lessons that we have to learn along the way. I was baptized very young in life, a kid, in essence. And I didn't have an inkling what it meant to be a Christian at that time. I knew very little. I knew enough, in essence. Probably a lot of us are in that situation, even as an adult. If you became Christian as an adult, I don't think any of us fully appreciate what it means to be a disciple, in spite of things that Jesus had taught. And Peter, even though he spent those 3 years with Jesus, he still needed to learn that lesson. He failed in the lessons that he did hear and learn, but Jesus was giving him another opportunity to be able to fulfill that. And Peter did so. And so let's talk a little bit about true discipleship. And I, again, I think it's important for us to think along these lines of discipleship. I wish we would talk more about it. I wish we would describe ourselves more as disciples, at least more frequently anyway. Not to say that other things that we say about ourselves as Christians or saints, those types of things are inaccurate or inappropriate. They're certainly not. There are things that we need to focus on, but discipleship seems to me to have taken somewhat of a backseat, perhaps, in our thinking, in the way that we think of ourselves, and certainly perhaps as the way that we present the gospel. I think it should be couched in the light of discipleship, because it is a difficult lesson, but a necessary lesson for those that wish to follow Jesus to understand. And Jesus himself emphasized the importance of what true discipleship and what following him meant. And so there are three things that he told Peter and the other people that Jesus had taught, the things I like to emphasize here. The first one is the idea of bearing one's cross. And I was thinking this in terms of what Peter was hearing there in John chapter 21. Again, if the imagery is correct, and if our understanding is correct about what Jesus was saying about how Peter would die, it was almost literal in the life of Peter. Peter would literally have to bear his cross in service to Christ. And Jesus talks about that in Luke, the 14th chapter, in this passage where Jesus is, in essence, telling us the demands of discipleship and telling us what it means to follow him and sort of that test. And so he says in chapter 14 and in verse 27, he says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And so there it is, black and white. Now, this is not a suggestion of Jesus. He's basically saying here that it is necessary for us to bear our cross if we want to be his disciple. And so what does it mean to bear one's cross? Well, what I used to think about it in terms of carrying that cross around, sort of like that idea, that burden, that difficult thing that I have to endure. There might be certain temptations in my life that are difficult that I struggle with, or perhaps elements of my life that are a burden of some kind that I have to continue to bear in order to serve Christ. And that's really not what Jesus is saying here. He's not using the image of the cross as difficulty. We're just saying that you have to bear the difficulties of discipleship in order to be a disciple. Rather, he's saying and using the cross as what the cross is always intended to convey, and that is of a symbol of death. When you think of a cross, there was only one purpose for it, and that was to put people to death, to kill them. And so when Jesus is saying here in Luke 14 and verse 27, and then the parallel passages where he talks about bearing our cross, he is saying, whoever does not put himself to death cannot be my disciple. And certainly I don't think Jesus is being literal there, but that should not take away from the importance and the power of the imagery that Jesus is trying to convey there for us. He is saying here that as far as our lives concerned, as a disciple, we should not exist. We have to put ourselves to death and all that that means. And in Peter's life, Peter didn't quite do that prior to the cross. There was something, even though in Peter's mind at times, even though he was willing to die for Christ, he really wanted to die for Christ on his own terms. If you think about it. You know, we looked at some of those highlights of Peter's life, and we saw that Peter said, you know, if everyone else forsake you, I'm not going to forsake you. Or other parallel passages talk about the idea, you know, if everyone else abandons you, I'll die for you. And he even proved that by taking up that sword and basically, charging this little army. I don't know how exactly it is, but it was relatively large, certainly more than one man could take. And he risked his life for the Lord. But that was only when Peter was thinking about sort of the idea of the earthly kingdom of what Jesus came to be. About Jesus being the earthly king and the king of Israel. And then once Jesus was taken and arrested, and that dream of an earthly kingdom sort of exploded and disappeared, evaporated. Well, Peter wasn't quite so confident. And that's when he denied Jesus. And so when it was on Peter's terms, what he thought the kingdom ought to be, he was willing to die. But when he saw the reality of it, what Jesus had been telling him all along, well, that's when things changed. There was too much self. In other words, Peter did not truly crucify himself in following Jesus. There was too much of Peter in what he desired and what he wanted out of Christianity. And so, as a disciple, there may be, before we become a Christian, there may be some expectation that you think Christianity should afford to you, or that God should provide, or that there are certain blessings and advantages of being a Christian. And while there are tremendous blessings of being a Christian, there may be some expectations that don't fit in within what Christ is offering us, that don't quite fit in with what we might desire. And in fact, I guess what I'm saying is, that sometimes Christianity doesn't quite work out the way that we think it ought to work out. And so that's when we have to remind ourselves, to follow Jesus, I have to bear my cross. I have to kill self in order to follow Him. I have to remove those expectations. I have to remove those things that I might desire and simply follow God and follow Him. You know, I think about, often about the first Christians. And I look at those sermons that are taught. And it's kind of not surprising, but I'm amazed, I guess might be the better word for that, about how little is said. There's a lot that's said. But, you know, there's not an explanation, like in the book of Acts, to these potential disciples, these potential converts. You know, not once are they explained exactly how the church should function, you know, on a local level, you know, about the eldership and the deacons and the very submit to them. That nothing is said along those lines or about the various things of how we worship. And, I mean, we could make a list of all different types of things that are not said to them. How little they understood. But what was stressed was Jesus and following Him. And so, which brings us to the next point. True discipleship involves the need to prefer Jesus. I'm kind of mixing up verses here a little bit, but in the same chapter, Luke 14, that we looked at earlier in the previous verse in verse 26, Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, and brothers and sisters. Yes, even his own life. He cannot be my disciple. And so the reason why I kind of flip-flopped it a little bit, because he does end with that idea of his own life, but he also talks about those elements of family, which we understand. And I don't think literally Jesus wants us to hate our family, but it clearly is that when it comes to priority, we are to prefer Jesus. He comes first, always, and whatever situation that we find ourselves, whatever conflict may come between us following Jesus, whether it be family, if you will, the bottom line is that Jesus has to be followed. I think about my mother's here. I think she's checking up on me tonight. Actually, I told her I was preaching tonight and invited her to come, but my mom was a tremendous influence in my life. I have a lot to thank God for because of her. and much of who I am is because of her. And a lot of people that she helped bring into my life. I'm thinking about Christian men and women that were a huge influence. And I guess I didn't learn this lesson until much later on, as even though I became a Christian young and alive. My discipleship is not to her. And even though I learn from her, ultimately my discipleship is between Christ and me. And I had to learn that lesson to understand that at some point, her influence basically had to wane and decrease, and Christ's influence had to be preeminent and first. Oftentimes, those influences meshed perfectly. And so what I want us to understand, and as we think about our spiritual walk and think about our responsibility to God, there are going to be those voices in our heads. Family members is what I'm saying. And while those voices may be encouraging and godly, ultimately those voices are going to have to take a back seat. And one voice is going to have to stand loud and clear in our minds. And that is the voice of Jesus saying, follow me. And that is the lesson that Peter had to learn. And so the true need to follow Jesus is what discipleship is all about. I want to show you something back in John chapter 21. You know, Peter is he is an interesting person. And there's some things about him that are kind of humorous to me a little bit. And I don't mean that in a way of demeaning Peter at all. But we know how impetuous Peter is oftentimes. And he's easily sidetracked off the important things at times. And this is an example where that happens in chapter 21. So we read up to verse 19 where Jesus gets through telling Peter, this is how you're going to die. And then he says, follow me. So Peter turns around in verse 20, says, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. I can just imagine this. You know, here Peter's looking at Jesus, and here he's talking about John, the one that writes this gospel. And so Peter turns to John, and looking at John, he asks the question, Lord, basically, verse 21, Peter saw him and said to Jesus, Lord, you know, what about this man? And Jesus' response kind of helps us understand what Peter is saying and what's happening in the mind of Peter here. Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. And then there's a rumor spread that John wouldn't die. And John dispels that rumor for us. But that's not what Jesus was saying. But here's what I think was happening in the mind of Peter. You know, Peter hearing what Jesus was saying, this encounter with Jesus, and Jesus asking, do you love me? And Peter, I believe, desperately wants to follow Jesus faithfully. No doubt in my mind that that's what he's wanting to do. And then Jesus, I think, in a strange kind of way, is reassuring Peter that Peter, you're going to die an old man and will glorify me in that death. That's going to be crucifixion. It's going to be a hard death, a difficult death. But that's what it means to be a disciple, to bear your cross, whatever that might entail. And then so Peter says, well, what about him? Is he going to have to endure the same thing? Is he going to have to die in service to you? And Jesus then said to him, don't worry about him. You just focus on me and follow me. And I think that in essence is what we need to hear Jesus say. when he is saying, follow me, he is saying, follow only me. And I'll have to confess to you as a Christian, I I'm kind of like Peter. I get sidetracked. And I'm thinking, Lord, what about this person? You know, their life, they're not experiencing all the same things that I'm experiencing. Maybe perhaps better circumstances, maybe perhaps worse circumstances. But I'm thinking, you know, it's not exactly the same here. My discipleship doesn't look, I guess, the same. It's not homogenous against all of the people. And I need to remember the words of what Jesus is saying. Just follow me. And so here, I guess, is the point that I'm making. I'm speaking to those who are not Christians at this particular juncture in our lesson. Those of you that who have not committed yourself to Jesus, I want you to put out of your minds those voices that we were talking about, expectations that others have of you. And I just want you to focus on what Jesus is saying to you, to focus on those words. Because he is saying to you, follow me. And whatever it is that you decide is just between you and him. And now, to the Christians, to all of us, it's really the same thing. There are times that we're like Peter. We fail in our confession, in our devotion. And ultimately, and this is not to contradict what Steve was saying. I thought it was an excellent lesson this morning. And last Sunday, of the things that he talked about, the need for confession. So I say a hearty amen to that. But first and foremost, we have to understand our obligation, our discipleship, our following Jesus. And first we have to think about, you know, my life in relationship to him. Have I truly followed him? And those other voices, those other things, those expectations, really it all boils down to me and him. And I just need to focus my eyes on him. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, I'm not sure how much longer after that event in John chapter 21 that what we see in Matthew 28 occurs. But before Jesus leaves this earth, he tells those 11 men, the 11 remaining of the 12. He said in verse 18, says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The command there is to make disciples. And so in our disciple making, and I hope we think of it in those terms, because that's what Jesus wants us to do, to make other disciples. We have to help convey the message of discipleship in the way that Jesus conveyed it, taught it to his disciples and to those around them, to understand what it means to follow him. And so tonight, the invitation. And as we continue to offer the gospel message to other people, let's continue to emphasize the importance of following him, of following Jesus, and to understand the need to bear one's cross, to put yourself to death, the need to prefer Jesus over other voices in our lives, whether it be family members or other influential people, that ultimately it is Jesus that we must follow, is the third point that we made it. And that is helping us on the path of the discipleship. And again, kind of back to those of you who are not Christians, you may not understand everything about what it means to be a disciple. I would be amazed that you understood a fraction of what it means to be a disciple. So we covered three very important things for you to consider. And you, if you do decide to become a disciple, to commit your life, to follow him, knowing what's at stake, that basically to put yourself to death and to commit yourself to Jesus, then the other answers, the things that we don't know, will eventually those things that God wants us to know and has revealed to us to know, those things, Lord willing, will come in your life. But you don't have to know everything. Just know that Jesus is saying, follow me. And if you're willing to do that, then we are going to encourage you to do that. And if, as a disciple, if there's things in your life that have been lacking, as Steve was encouraging us, if we can provide an opportunity where you can confess your sin and us offer prayers with you, then we want to do that tonight. Paul has selected a song for us to encourage you to think about your need to follow Jesus, to be a true disciple. And we want to offer that chance right now. If you would, come forward while we stand.